We started this week with Jesus declaring that he wanted to set the earth on fire. That was Sunday's gospel. And then on Monday, we celebrated the great solemnity of the Assumption of Mary, as if the church was giving us an example of what it means to be caught on fire, while the Blessed Virgin Mary caught on fire and rose bodily into heaven. In other words, the fire is not only a destructive force or merely a purifying force, but it is also an enhancing force, an elevating power, glorifying power. But why did Jesus want to set the earth on fire? Perhaps because he could see the need for purification. Perhaps because he could see that the human family was in need of being ignited. Perhaps he could see something like we have in today's first reading, the vision Ezekiel had of the Valley of the Dry Bones. Maybe when Jesus said, "I've come to set the earth on fire," he was saying, look at the earth. It's just dry bones. This is quite a vivid image, isn't it? The Valley of the Dry Bones. There's so many bones. How dry they were, Ezekiel says. How dry they were. It's an image of absolute impossibility, of absolute death. It's one thing to see a dead body, you know, a dead body looks almost like a living body. But when you're just bones, that's dead, dead. Dried up. What hope is there that this pile of dried up bones or this scattered array of bones, what hope is there that they can come back to life and forget it? And so the Lord asks Ezekiel, can these bones come to life? The natural answer is no, it's too late. But Ezekiel, because he's talking to the Lord, gives a very good answer. Lord God, you alone know that. Only you know whether the hopelessness of dry bones can actually come back to life. Now, Ezekiel, or the Lord says to Ezekiel, this vision of the dry bones is a symbolic representation of the people of Israel. These bones are the whole house of Israel. Why was the house of Israel dry bones? Because they had been driven into exile. They were away from the promised land. They had lost, the temple had been torn down. They had lost all connection to their roots and to their God. And they felt like, well, forget it. It's over. The story of the chosen people has ended and we messed it up so badly. Now we're just dry bones. Our bones are dried up. Our hope is lost, and we are cut off, meaning cut off from the land and cut off from God. Now, that description of absolute hopelessness might seem extreme, but it might not. It actually represents the human condition when we're cut off from God. Actually, the condition of very many people in our own time. We live in a valley of dry bones. Sometimes it's objectively true. I mean, people are impoverished, they are suffering terrible losses, unbelievable losses, sufferings. Sometimes it's more of an interior experience, depression, hopelessness. And when a person from outside says, well, why are you feeling that way? Why are you acting as if you have no hope? You have a family, you have a job, your health isn't so bad. And the person who's experiencing it might say, well, you don't understand what I'm experiencing. Darkness, emptiness, dryness, how dry my bones are. There's no reason to go on. And people can easily slip into this condition interiorly, even spiritually. If you've ever experienced spiritual dryness, you can't explain why it's so. Why, you know, God hasn't changed and the world hasn't changed that much, but our experience can be one of dryness, as if we're cut off from God. Now, when the, either because the situation really is bad, or simply because we experience life as being bad, the tendency is, in both cases, to close in on ourselves, to protect what little we have, to put up our walls and say, since I'm in a hopeless condition, I better just take care of myself. And that is exactly the wrong answer. That actually is what causes a lot of the dryness in the first place. That's sin, in fact. To cut ourselves off from others and from God, and just say, I'm going to defend myself or take care of myself only. That will really dry us up. That takes us to today's gospel, when Jesus is asked, what is the greatest of the commandments? Jesus does not talk about what we have to do to take care of ourselves, what we have to do to defend ourselves or to prove ourselves or keep us from getting any drier. He says, no, the greatest commandment is to love God. Love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind. In other words, don't let that tendency to close in on yourselves take over. Break out of that and lift your heart, your mind, your soul up to God. That's the first commandment. And the second commandment is like it. It's love of neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Break out of that self-centeredness, that self-protection, self-glorification, self-defense. Break out of that and look out for the good, for the need of others. You think you're dried up, look around. People are have suffered a lot more than you. They're feeling much more dried up than you, and the Lord can use you to bring some refreshment to them. So if you open your eyes and look out to others. So this change, and I think you can see how basic this is, when we're looking at ourselves and our own needs and our own dryness and our own depression, well, we don't even notice God or anybody else. But once we open ourselves up to God, we say, wow, there's a whole different adventure going on here, and I'm not dried up because I have a divine source of life. That's what Ezekiel described as the Spirit. We would call him the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit, you can't be dried up. You can't be cold and dark. You have fire, divine life, divine wind. You see, a lot of the difficulty in modern world is the attempt to live without God. And once we eliminate God from our world, from our thoughts, from the horizon of our experience, we are hopeless. That's a hopeless condition. I know modern critics will say, well, you're just inserting God into the picture to escape from despair, to escape from the absurdity of life. That you're just making that up so that you feel better. Well, no. No. This is actually the most profound reality there is God. That's where everything comes from. That's what everything is based on. If you eliminate that foundation, if you eliminate that reason for being, well, of course you're feeling hopeless and dried up. Worse than a valley of dry bones. Just dust blowing in the wind. But with God, there is light, there is life, there's wind, there's fire, there's hope, there's glory. So, whatever might be the experience today, could be dry or not, and we're in the rainy season, so maybe we don't feel so dry, but no, anyone can really experience a level of dryness in the family, in the community, in the work situation, or maybe your own health. Well, take seriously these two commandments. Love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind. Open up your heart, your soul, your mind, your life to God, to the reality of God, to the abundant life of God. Force yourself open to God. Love is sometimes a very almost contradictory experience. I'm going to make myself love. I'm going to decide love, even though I don't feel like it at all. Love God with your whole heart, soul, mind. Everything, your whole powers, open them to God, because that's the source. If we don't take that step, we don't have any hope. And then with that life that comes from God, with that connection we have with God, then we can look beyond the circle of our own little world and see many, many other people. And we can be connected to them. We can be part of a vast army of the Lord. Okay, I want to say more about how the dry bones are turned into an army, but we're in that. We're dry bones and we have been given life. We can be part of God's way of bringing life to others in the world.